I'm Sandra Pilvinen, and I'm here to talk today with...
My name is Matthew Karenin.
And here at the LLC office, we are happy to have a book of poetry being published this year, and it is in a format we call a chapbook. Matt, can you tell us about what this chapbook format is, what characterizes it?
Well, I think one main thing that characterizes it is that it is often a rather small volume, maybe a slim volume, not too long of a work, and it's a short, often a collection of things. It could be poetry, it could be prose, short essays, any variety of things. And another thing that tends to characterize chapbooks is that they are affordable. They are relatively inexpensively made. They're not necessarily meant to be the type of book, hardbound and so on, that you would want to save on your bookshelf forever, but rather they're meant to be used and shared and taken with you and read widely.
I like that. I can see why they're so popular among poets. Many emerging poets have chapbooks, I have noticed, and we find them at universities, different places like that, where poets study. So it's really nice, I think, that here at the LLC, we're able to join in with that tradition and really welcome all these new writers we see emerging among God's kingdom.
Yeah, you know, a chapbook, on the one hand, it's not a full book, so to speak. So in that way, it doesn't maybe take as much time, as much preparation, as much editing in terms of time commitment as a full book might. Of course, the content that we publish at LLC, we want to review it thoroughly and have it approved by the various people and groups of people that approve what we publish. So that has happened in this case as well. But I guess this type of chapbook is like not a full book, but it's not just like one single writing either. It's a small collection of writings.
One of the things I've noticed about the chapbook is that the poetry in it seems to be written for believers who maybe take the time to think about their place in the world around them and about how God is overseeing our place in the world and our time to be alive, and that we work under His almighty hand. That was a feeling I got in reading the poems. Would you comment on that?
Yes, I'm happy to comment. Now, I guess maybe it's worth mentioning to our listeners that I am the person who wrote the poems in the chapbook that's going to be soon published. And I think one of the main things that is in my mind when I consider those poems that have been written and then edited and then selected to be included in this chapbook is that God is always present. We might feel from our human portion that God is far away at times, and yet on the other hand, we believe and know that God is never far away. God is with us and in us in the form of His Spirit, and with that is grace that is always present as well. And I think those writings were maybe a way of expressing that based on some experiences that I've had in my life and that maybe I've heard from other people close to me that they have experienced.
Yes. The title of the collection is Do You Wonder Who You Are, right?
Yes. Well, I certainly wonder who I am. I'm 52 years old and I'm still wondering. And I think I wondered even more when I was younger. And so I think it's quite likely that other people of varying ages, maybe especially young people, are wondering that right now. Who are they and what kind of person should they be? And who tells them that? And how do they know that? How do they know that whatever and whoever they are is okay and they can be the person that God meant them to be?
I felt the same way when I read it. I felt like I also wonder, and I also remember a time when I spent quite a bit of time wondering that very question. So it touched me, and it's one of the reasons why, as an LLC editor, I pushed to get this book published. I felt like it spoke to me directly and that it would speak to others as well. But I've known you for a number of years, and I've read your poetry for a number of years. Yet, about a year ago, or maybe a bit more, there seemed to have been some sort of shift in your writing and also in the amount of poetry you were producing. For one thing, I felt a real strong spoken word influence. And also, I realized that you were producing a lot and I wanted to see a book come. Was there something that caused this shift in your life, or did you perceive it the same way?
Well, I think one catalyst was what you mentioned, spoken word. As a lifelong student of the English language and the various forms in which it is published, the various ways it is used, both in more literary ways and in the ways that we use language in general in our lives, I've been aware of spoken word. It's a form of expression that I admire because it's poetic and it's meant to be shared out loud. In other words, spoken, not so much on the page, but spoken. And that has always appealed to me. It's not that I necessarily think that I should go around speaking poetry, but the form itself has a few, I think, identifying characteristics that, you know, an English literature teacher could point out to you. Although you are one of those teachers, so you likely already know that. But anyway, I wondered last spring, is that a form that is comfortable for believers to use? And then I didn't think about it very long because my first and foremost thought was, why not? One hallmark of spoken word is that people share things that are deeply felt, deeply lived and experienced. And of course, believers, as with all humans, have these deep experiences. And if spoken word is a way to express them, then why not? And so I began forming these types of poems. I mean, they are written on the page. Of course, they have to be written to be published in print. But one thing I think that was new or more present to me in creating them was I wasn't so much picturing what they look like on the page. I was first and foremost picturing or hearing in my head how they sounded. I don't know that I read many of them out loud to myself, maybe a few, but when I imagined what they should sound like, then it seemed like they took shape quite easily. And maybe that was why I ended up creating quite a number of them, because maybe I had some thoughts and ideas stored up that wanted to be expressed. And then when I found this medium that seemed close to me or to work for me, then out they came. It might sound odd to just say, yes, they just came out, but that's about the long and short of it.
So the process was somewhat compressed for you.
Yes.
And I think that with that has come a real deep tone of authenticity for the reader. I'm wondering now if you would read one of your poems for us.
I could do that. I have a poem here before me. It's called Why I Write. And I selected this one because maybe there's some parts of it that illustrate or illuminate the style of this poetry, but also maybe it says a little something about the question you posed a moment ago about where did these poems come from.
Mm-hmm. Please read.
Why I Write. I write to find out what I'm thinking, what I'm looking at, what I see, and what it means. I write because the words pile up otherwise, stacked in the corners of my mind like bricks I can't name. I write because if I don't, I can't think straight, because the thoughts spin out in circles, restless and sharp, and I need to see them on paper before they tear me apart. I write to hold what I can't hold in my head anymore. I write because sometimes the thoughts only make sense once I see them in black and white, once I let them spill onto the page. I write because the page listens without judgment, without hurry, a safe place for the mess and the wonder. I write to see what I'm afraid of, what I hope for, what I carry in the quiet corners of my mind. I write because it's how I breathe, how I pray, how I let the world know I'm here, still searching, still asking, still holding the questions I don't always have answers for. And maybe, just maybe, the words themselves are the answer, the promise that I don't have to hold it all alone.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
And I really felt the authenticity and almost a sense, a tone of urgency in that poem. I think it reflects the times we live in and also our lives of faith and how we often stop and think about who we are and where we are. I appreciate so much that we have so many writers like yourself who are pursuing poetry and in doing that are helping so many people sort out their own feelings in troubled times and in good times.
Yes, you know, I think that we know what kind of time we're living in. We don't know what kinds of times our predecessors lived in. I feel like it's maybe easy to think, oh, those past times were so much more peaceful and calm, but likely those people in those times, our grandparents and those who came before, for example, had their own struggles and their own worries and their own conflicts and stress and things that they wondered about and things that they tried to make sense of. And anyway, getting back to the point that we only know the moment that we are living in, I know what kinds of questions and wonderings I have and have had, and therefore I think that maybe there's some others who may think and wonder about the same kinds of things. And I guess one thing I would like to share in writing these kinds of texts is that it's okay to wonder, it's okay to search for answers, it's okay if occasionally we are weighed down by them, so long as we remember where our comfort is found, where safety and where support can be found as well.
Yes, it strikes me right now that this is a long-held prized tradition of believers. Think of the Book of Psalms right now, the lamentations, the exploration of thoughts and of trials and of troubles.
And joys.
And joys. And then coming back to where do we find our comfort?
Yes. Another example of that that I love is our hymnal, Songs and Hymns of Zion. As of now, that hymnal contains 604 songs, and just recently we published more in the form of a supplement, so now there's even more than that. So that is just over 600 texts that all in some way or other express some facet of the believer's life, of the human experience, and our journey through this world that God has created for us.
Yes, it does. And those songs are being enjoyed by so many people right now. I like to think that a living faith continues to produce living texts and those confessions of our faith.
I believe that a living faith will continue to produce those kinds of texts, whether they're poems, prose, song texts, whatever they might be, that are necessary support and comfort or food for the journey or songs of the journey. And I think that's actually one thing that makes this type of a chapbook worthwhile, is because we don't have to have a high threshold to publish some beautiful, durable volume that's going to last for many decades. It's okay if we publish things that seem timely now for people to consume now and read and reflect on now in this day. And if they have a longer life, then so be it. But the point of a chapbook is that people would have these texts available in this moment that we're living in.
Thank you so much for reading the poem and for talking to us today.
Thank you.